record, and that's on.
Okay.
Can you give me a copy of that?
I suppose I can. Then I download it.
Yeah, it becomes a file, and you can just copy it.
Yeah, so there you go.
You just plug it into your computer with a USB lead. And it's a file on there. It'll be in your folder A. You'll have A to E folders, and it'll be an A. Because, you see, I have exactly the same thing in my drawer.
You see, I have one, because I bought one, and then Dorian was going to write a book.
I've got a really fancy one there. Different beast, but these work really well.
Good.
You know?
Yeah, they do, because I'm...
Yeah.
It's your day.
No, go on.
It's your day. Oh my goodness, I didn't expect this one because it's Fran that set this meeting up. And so, alright,
I just need help.
Feel free, yeah. Okay.
Well, I've come in part of Fee.
Yeah.
Yeah. She wrote some questions down.
Okay.
So if you want to read them out to her, then you can speak to her over the...
Okay.
There.
First question, to do the course, do you have to be recorded on Hangouts? No. The course that we're doing, there's an initial group, the alpha group, who I started practicing with just to sort of see how it worked and whatever. And I promised that I would meet with them. So I've got 20 groups all over the world that I hang out with for them. The beta group, which is the next group, and those are all private hangouts. They're not published at all. They're there just for the group.
That's really what you wanted.
The group themselves. Yeah. And I have hangouts with individual people and with other groups that are not public. There are only a few of them that are actually public ones. They're the beta group. I'm not personally mentoring them online, but the alpha group will. So the alpha group will take what they've learned and then provide support for others. And again, they won't be public. You know, they may be physical meetings for some people, some they're different meetings around the world. So there's no need for any sort of public things there. Second question, what if I didn't feel the mentor was suited to me? Well, the course itself is designed to be self-done. It's not really, you don't need a mentor at all. I mean, for 6 months with the alpha group, I didn't mentor any of them. I just gave them the material, provided a forum where they can ask questions and where they can help each other. And there's an alpha forum where they post things and testimonies, and it's just like a support community. For the group, the beta group have now got their own forum where they post things. You know, we give them an email address within our domain and they can interact with each other. So it's really designed to be done as a self process, developing intimacy with God in that, but very much at your own pace. Everyone can take it at their own pace, because it's about becoming a lifestyle, not just about listening to some stuff or doing some exercises. It has to become a lifestyle that we live. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a supernatural, heavenly lifestyle as sons of God that we are to outwork and live. So from that perspective, everyone can take their time. I mean, the first module of the course is really about catching up, really about realizing that there's a Joshua generation that we're called to prepare the next generation of what's coming and things like that, and some basic stuff about, you know, engaging angels and a few things like that. But then most of the rest of it then is just practicing developing our spiritual senses to be able to engage that realm and to live out of heaven and to live as sons of God and have intimacy and all the things that God is opening up. So yeah, definitely you don't even need a mentor. Third, is there a course for those who are already living beyond the basic levels? Okay. I feel that often the questions that are asked in Hangouts on this mentoring on his mentor, I could answer and in agreement with. Yeah. The basic if you're already living in some of this stuff, then the reason for the program is so we can equip other people to live in it. And that's why I wanted it to be first principles, so that if someone else says, well, how do you do this, then you have a way of helping them because you've gone through the process yourself. So it may take you a month to do the first module and a few weeks to do the second module if you're already living it. But then when it comes on to the deeper things and the things that some people aren't, then you take as long as it takes to do it. And, you know, if you're already doing it, then essentially it's just a reminder that then you can use your testimonies to be able to help other people. I don't want it to be focused on my testimonies, but I have to start somewhere.
Yeah,
that's why when people get their own, those testimonies will become better for other people because they relate to different people differently.
Yeah.
You know, the way I do things doesn't necessarily work for everybody, but the principles are the same. And if you apply the principles, then you can develop your own thing. The key is, it's like there are two pathways that we follow that can engage heaven. There's the relationship pathway and the responsibility pathway. And you can't have one without the other, but you have the relationship first. And building intimacy, being able to hear the voice of God, being able to access the resources of heaven, that pathway is essentially something you develop by engaging God on the inside, in our own spirit, because he's there. And we just need to commune with him and engage with him there, and engaging where he is in the realms of heaven, like the tree of life or river of life or the things that we know are a source of life for us, then we can engage with him there. So, in a sense, you can skip through stuff if you already know it, because you already know it.
Yeah.
There's no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making sure that you know it well enough to be able to help someone else. That's the key. The hangouts really are, I just respond to people. I've no agenda to try and, I want to teach them this, deal with people. And so I've learned patience.
Yeah, that is evident when you're doing
because people
it.
Ask the same question over and again.
Yeah.
Actually, well, if you don't know the answer, then I'm happy to try and help you with the answer. So, although I could say, okay, there are 15 hangouts on this subject before, go and listen to them, I don't, because I respond to where people are at. And if people ask the same question 3 weeks following, I answer it. What I don't do is I don't do things for people anymore. People used to ask me a lot, well, can you interpret this dream? Can you tell me what this symbolism is? You know, and I could, because I can. Can you show me what you're seeing around me in the angelic realm? Well, yeah, I can. But I'd much rather you help you to see it, because then you're not dependent on me. So I sort of have changed some of those questions. I don't answer in the same way. What I do is say, okay, how would you then ask God yourself, so God can tell you what he was trying to show you? Because he will.
Yeah.
You know, if I can interpret a dream, you can be sure God can interpret it. So you're going to get a better building of your relationship and intimacy by asking God yourself.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I don't prophesy over people anymore. Because actually I want to teach people how to hear God for themselves. Why would I want to give them a prophetic word when they can hear God as Father?
Yeah, that's God's intention.
It is. Yeah. But we all have a personal relationship. And whole prophetic ministry was to equip the saints for service, not to do the prophetic stuff on their behalf. And unfortunately, that's what's ended up happening. You know, well, let's get in a line and we'll all get your prophecy for today.
Yeah.
Well, what about, okay, I'll spend 5 minutes and then lead you into hearing God and God will tell you. Well, that's much better, because then you then, was it, teach, give a man a fish and he's got a meal, teach a man to fish and he's got a meal for life.
Yeah.
And that's really what it comes in a lot of these things. It's about getting a personal relationship so that people can actually hear from God without the mediator.
Mm.
Because we don't need a mediator, we've got one.
Mm.
Jesus, you know, he's the one who is the doorway to our relationship with the Father. We don't need somebody else replacing the Father by being the person that they go and ask all the questions. So I help people with questions that are relating to things that they are thinking, but I won't replace God in hearing God for them, because that's not really what it's about.
Some people say that prophecies from visualization, as other people say, it isn't.
Well, in the Hebrew, there were two words for prophet. There was the prophet who just spoke, and they just spoke out, and it was like a bubbling of words. They just, thus saith the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Mm. And there were prophets that were seers, who saw. And there are two parts. But in the New Testament, those two come together.
I was going to say, you can do it both, either, can't
yeah.
you? When you
as prophesy, your you as your spirit directs, yeah.
Yeah, you get both.
Yeah. But I'm convinced that, you know, prophecy in that sense is really for the unbeliever confirm the reality of God and his care and love for them, rather than us doing it for believers because they are too lazy to go and do it for themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, a bit blunt, but it's like, that's what I found. People want someone else to do it for everybody, so they don't have to do it. And you can't build a relationship of intimacy on someone else's work. You have to spend the time with God, and then you'll grow in that relationship. So what else did it say? I didn't have the ability to articulate it in language, but I find that those things that are already happening to me, I just accept as it is a flow that is coming from relationship and what I've seen in the spirit. It's good to hear articulated and formed in the teaching, but is there teaching for those already that have it? As we go forward, it does get more governmental, in the sense of the pathway of responsibility as sons is to bring government and to rule. And so it will go beyond the basics. But if we're going to mentor others, then we have to have the basics in a way that we can communicate it. So that's really where I'm starting.
Yeah.
You know.
But eventually you'll be doing...
Oh yeah, I mean, you know,
that's what she thought.
Yeah, I mean, the module I'm doing at the moment is First Love, and that is, you know, I was going to do one session of how do you open your First Love gate and how do you encounter God. I mean, I'm session 15 because God wouldn't let me go.
Yeah,
I opened my First Love gate and He just kept me there, and I went deeper and deeper and deeper into Him. And it just opened up a whole realm of revelation and experience that I hadn't really had, or I'd skated over, and you just wanted to take me deeper. So I was like, okay. You know, and that opening that First Love gate does open us to go back through into, follow the river of life back into where it comes from and experience Him there. And but everything's supposed to flow through us. So if we're not flowing, you know, the river of life, you know, Ezekiel 47, it's like a trickle coming out from under the threshold until you open the door, and it becomes a stream.
Mm.
Well, we want it to become a river out of depth that just brings life wherever it goes, because that's its intention. But that is only going to happen if it comes through us, not stagnating us. Because a stagnant pool becomes like the Dead Sea.
Mm.
Stuff comes in one way, it doesn't go out the other, and it just sits and basically produces no life. So everything's got to flow through us. And that's a reality of our intimacy and oneness with God, that we become one. That's what it feels like. It feels like you know, I think 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, whoever's joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him. And that's what it feels like, you know. I choose to join myself, to be yoked to Him, to engage with Him.
Yeah, I'm going through that now.
You know,
the yoke,
yeah,
the river of life and the thrones and the
and so that sense of being joined then becomes a oneness that means my spirit and soul and body begin to function one at one.
Yeah.
I don't make a lot of decisions anymore. I just find myself doing stuff. So I don't, oh, well, I need to do this. I just find myself doing it. I don't even decide to pray in tongues. I just my tongue starts praying. You know, it's my spirit that directs, rather than me deciding what I need to do. If my soul is in union with my spirit, then it all flows. My conscience works, my imagination works, my mind works, everything works, and I make the right choices. You know, if my soul is deciding on its own, it's usually based on the choices of the stuff which is coming in that way, rather than the stuff that's coming out that way. And that makes a big difference, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, you know, in a sense, you know.
Sharon's, let me ask one question.
Okay.
Sharon has started your the beta.
Yeah.
Yeah, the beta
group.
Course,
yeah.
The
yeah.
individual
yeah.
thing, and she says, because she's saying about the mentoring
yeah.
she'll get after this.
What
she's
yeah.
saying is,
it's only if people want that.
All right,
you know,
okay.
It's not mandatory.
She says if we get together, the three of us,
yeah.
like Fee,
yeah,
Sharon, and myself,
mentor each other,
just
support each other,
support
oh,
each
absolutely.
Other. That's her biggest question.
It's essentially it's totally voluntary. Nothing's mandatory.
No.
You work things through at your own pace in the way you want to work it through.
Yeah.
And that's different for different people. People will spend more time doing this, less time doing this. When it comes to supporting one another, people can get together and do that.
Yeah.
It really doesn't. It doesn't. It's just initially people wanted some support, which I offered, and then if people want it, the others then can begin to provide that support.
Yeah.
That's if people want it, but it's not mandatory. And even now, some people just, I mean, if you think about it, I'm operating from -8 to +12 time zone.
Right.
People have to fit in with me.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm not going to get up in the middle of the night to try and contact someone in, you know, California.
Mm.
They have to get up early in the morning.
Mm.
So not everyone can do that. So not everybody is connected. But the videos that I produce for the group are available for that group, even if the people don't attend
right.
that meeting. So they can always pick up, and they can always ask questions like this
yeah.
beforehand, which I'll answer, and then they can listen to later. But that is completely for the beta group.
Mm.
At the moment, it's like we've got 340 people, I think, on the beta group. Well, the alpha group's 140 people, and of those, about 40 said that they would be willing to mentor people. So even at that stage,
mm.
those 40 would need to mentor 10 each,
mm.
you know, if they want to. Whereas I'm sort of letting it settle down a bit.
Yeah.
So really, for the first few months, it's like it's just a matter of working through the material and finding what works for you. So no problem with that.
Mm. And Sundays, you're doing some activation.
On Sundays, what I'm doing is, I've taken various groups through workshops here, you know, the leadership and at different levels. You know, I did groups for people, not last year, the year before. And what I felt was you can't keep going over the same material with people. So I want to give everybody the opportunity of starting from scratch. So the whole course that I'm doing, the whole manual, I'm doing with the people here.
Mm-hmm.
So they get videoed. I video them myself on this morning, and they become part of the program.
Mm.
So they all have activations with them.
Mm.
When I actually get to release it on the program, I cut the activations out so that people can just do the activation
mm-hmm.
as well as
mm-hmm.
not having to plow through all the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
They all the activations are separate,
mm-hmm.
so people can just practice
yeah.
and then find their own. You know, find their own scriptures or doorways or ways of activating that, because
mm.
that's in the end of the day, it has to become a personal pathway. That's why I don't go in detail to the things I see, because I don't want people to try and imagine what I'm seeing.
Mm.
I want people to go through the door and then see what they need to see, which will be very different, because we're all different. We're all designed to be different, and therefore, you know, what I engage with, other people won't necessarily. But we can all step into that realm and begin to engage that which God wants us to experience, and it'll be something that we relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the purpose of different experiences for different people. We're all wired differently, we function differently, so it's okay. So I don't take people on. There are people around the world who are going on sort of like joyrides together in heaven. And I'm a bit uncomfortable with some of how that's being done, because some of it seems to be about, okay, well, you tell me what you're seeing, and we're trying to see what we're each other seeing.
Mm.
It's a personal encounter. You don't have to be worried what anyone else sees. Or be trying to, oh no, I can't see that. Oh no, I must be wrong then. So I don't do that.
Yeah.
I open a door.
It's like you're aware of other people while you're
potentially,
there.
Potentially, yeah, it can be.
Because they're all there.
Yeah.
But it is personal.
Yeah.
Where God's taking and you, what's He showing you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's
you're
the key.
Aware of them.
And it becomes valid for you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I do exercises, I just open a door and it's for people to go through it and find whatever they experience for them. You know, and God is going to whisper to somebody something totally different to somebody else because they need to hear something different. You know, we all need to hear what we need to hear now. And that will be different for everybody. I mean, Sundays we have people from being totally new into our rehab, so they've never been to church before, or they've been to some religious thing. And from people from, you know, been around for years, but the exercises are all potential, and, you know, because it's the spirit that actually connects with people. People just have to put themselves in a place where they relax, really, and stop trying, you know, and that's interesting, where, you know, we've got people on the rehab who are now running their own meditation groups on the rehab, because they've just, hey, I saw something.
Yeah.
This worked.
Have some ball.
Yeah, and yeah, and this,
oh,
it's but it's all about, it's not pursuing the experience, it's pursuing relationship, and that's the key. Otherwise, experience becomes something you chase after, rather than I want to pursue God.
Yeah.
I want to know Him. I want to know me from His perspective better. You know, which is the relationship which is there, but. You know, we're all on a different journey in a sense. It's a going in the same direction, but it's individual, you know, and therefore we have to see it as individual and help each other that way. But,
you know. You know the manual.
Yeah.
That you have you got that in hard copy?
No. No. I mean, you can basically, the manual really is just. It's just the facilitation to be able to get to the material to listen and then practice or watch. So you can print it out. I mean, you know, there's about at the moment there's about 50 pages of the manual itself, but they're just links that go to a teaching or a PDF that follows the teaching or stuff. It's really designed for people to listen and practice in their own setting or in small groups. Some people are setting up small groups to do it.
And that's good.
So they watch the video and then they practice and then they talk about it and then they share their own personal experiences and they help them support each other. And that's no problem. And it's totally flexible of how people want to do it. There's no real right or wrong way of doing it. All we ask is don't try and change the material, just use it and adapt it for your own way of how it works for you, whether that's a group or whether that's, you know, some people find it really easy to listen, some people find it better to read, you know, some people find it better to watch, you know, so we're trying to, you know, do as much as we can and producing written stuff to go with it, but it's, you know, it's a bit of a quest. I mean, we have now with all the PDFs, because people were there sort of PowerPoint slides, we have now produced for the second and third module them as a Word file, so you can actually read them with the pictures and the diagrams, because some people like to read, they like to follow along in a way. So we're all trying to, you know, just the reason it's an alpha and beta thing is because we're practicing learning how to do it and get it better, and so, you know, learning how to develop, you know, and problem is it's like people are all over the world with different technology. Some are using iPhones, some using tablets, some using computers and Macs, and it was a nightmare to start with, because they were all like, well, this doesn't work. This doesn't work. Well, it worked when I tried it. It's like, because I haven't got a Mac or an iPhone. I don't like Apple, so I'm not going to use it. I don't like their philosophy, so I refuse to use it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a constantly evolving thing. Which is really just, you know, you can print it out. But once you've read the introduction and that sort of thing, then really you're just looking at each module and looking to practice the exercises that will give you the relationship and develop what you need to do, how to hear, how to see, how to engage.
I'm doing it freehand.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
as it goes through. That's what I'm writing down.
Yeah.
Just so.
Yeah, I mean, people. Some people like different ways of learning. They have different ways of engaging.
I'm a sort of person, one to one person.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And is there any? Do you do anything like that here? One to one.
I do one-to-one mentoring of people here. In, you know, I've got relationships with people that I meet up every week with, you know, usually early in the morning because it's the only time I've got. But I don't, in a sense, that this process is really designed to build people's intimacy with God, and therefore, if you practice training your senses, according to Hebrews 5, you know, you will be able to discern. You'll be able to engage. It's just finding what works for you and then practicing the thoughts of God. I mean, literally everything goes on in your head. You know, this is, I think if people can get over that fact, it's like I'm seeing you right now in my head. You know, the light that's coming, bouncing off you, being reflected, goes into my eye, and eventually my optic nerve is a series of electrical impulses that my brain interprets as that image. You're only there because I've learnt to spatially interpret what this is, image in my head. You are sat there, but actually I'm not seeing you there. I'm seeing you in there. Well, I'm hearing you in there. And everything, whether it's my imagination or my spirit seeing, is in there. And that's what we've got to sort of get to. People, I know people are like, well, I can't see the same. Well, it's not about what you're trying to see. It's about how you're experiencing the interpretation of what that is showing you. You know, and that might be audible. I mean, I know I've had some amazing visions and had no idea what they meant. Because it was like, well, and then I had to go back and try and, well, what do you mean? What was that about?
Yeah.
But I'd rather have one thing where God says, do this.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to show you this.
Yeah.
So it's much easier to have his thoughts and him speaking to you than having a vision that you've got no idea what it meant. You know, so for me, I'm not really bothered about the visual side of it. Mm-hmm. I can choose to close my eyes and activate my imagination and enter into it. But my spirit will be able to interpret where I am and what I'm doing. Vision, I can describe it to people, although I don't choose to most of the time, but I can describe it to people because it's a knowing, I'm there. You know, but I don't need to see it in a sense of a vision, because if I'm there and I'm here,
yeah,
it's going to be very confusing if I'm can be in two places at the same time, which is what we're supposed to be. But I'm visually not being able to see you. If I'm driving down the road, I can't have a vision when my eyes are closed.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be able to be cognitively aware of here, but my spirit being there and communicating to me, flowing all the time. Which means I have to learn to interpret my spirit and its language in a different way than my soul communicates. Because my soul uses reason and imagination, whereas my spirit doesn't. My spirit just knows.
No.
It's just knows.
Just
it's a knowing.
It's a,
you know, it's a knowing in your knower.
Yeah,
and I can, you know, I can describe that to others in a visual manner because it's like that, you know. But I don't actually focus on that. But in the process, you want to get everything sort of going from visions to visitation to habitation takes a process and it's a journey. And a lot of people just want to see, you know, because if they see, then they think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't see in the same way, well, they don't think it's real. And it's like, well, that's not faith. You've got to get over that. That for some people, it becomes very visual, and for some, it isn't. But it's perception at the end of the day. Seeing is perceiving and having a discernment of what it is. And that's the key. But the whole process is designed to help you develop all the different senses so that you're able to do whatever you need to do, you know. But I don't do that one-on-one with people because it's more about them looking to engage God in those practical ways. Coming to a place of rest, I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's about rest in relationship. Then we only need to do what we see him doing. you know, which is a daily, I'm authorized to do what I see him doing, and he's going to show me what he wants me to do, so I go and ask him. You know, then I'm authorized. I have authority. I don't have authority to do anything that he's not shown me what to do, and I also have no responsibility to do it either. So I'm not subject to what other people want me to do. Because if God doesn't give me that mandate or authorization, I'd rather be accountable for him than worry about what someone else is thinking. So it just brings you freedom, really, to just do and be. Because at the end of the day, it isn't about what we do, it's about who we are. And if we know who we are, then we will do what we're supposed to do. You know, I do things for God in a sense that we work together from my relationship for him, not for it. So if I'm in relationship, everything flows out of relationship. I don't do things for that relationship, because that's dead works. If I'm trying to do something for that relationship, then I'm already in bondage.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to do anything. The relationship's already there. You know, he lives in me. I have the relationship, but growing in that relationship requires, like every relationship, time. You know, intimacy, quality time, not just snatch time. And that's part of the discipline of practicing, is that I'm going to give the quality time to develop this relationship, to learn to hear God's voice in the way which he speaks to me, and recognize, hey, the Holy Spirit actually is different from Jesus and the Father, and there's a different fragrance, and there's a different frequency and a vibration that you feel. You just sense differently, and growing in that sort of relationship and the depth of it by spending the time. Without the, oh, I have to do all this, because I don't have to do anything. You know, I only do what he shows me to do, and I can only see what he's showing me to do if I spend time with him. You know? And there are places where you can see different things and you can learn different things, but I still like hanging out with him in the garden of my heart, and you know, chilling out there, and you know, just resting and finding that place of peace and rest that everything flows out of. You know, because if you're not at rest, then you must be trying to do something, and that's, you know, rest isn't inactivity, but it's a rest from activity that tries to do something for God or with him. You know, and I do a lot of stuff, but I feel completely at rest.
It's that yoke again, isn't it? My yoke is easy.
Yeah,
my
burden's light. And if so, if it isn't, then I must be doing stuff in my own strength. If I'm weary, come to me, all are weary and heavy laden. Well, why would I be weary and heavy laden? Well, I'm obviously carrying stuff I shouldn't be carrying. And I must be doing stuff in my own strength, because if I wait on the Lord, then he renews my strength and I can run and not be weary, walk and not get tired. But if I'm tired, then I must be doing something, and usually that is some sort of religious effort to establish something which is already mine. You know, and a lot of people are caught in that trap, unfortunately.
Mandates,
yeah.
Oh, the thing that was going through my mind is about all the money.
Oh, yes.
I seem to have had lots of little foxes about money.
Yeah.
I think it started about last November. We were conned into buying something, and then it's been one thing after another. Right. And in fact, today, I went to get some money out of the bank. My card came out, but the money didn't.
Oh, right.
Your husband in the car park.
My husband's been having problems as well.
Okay.
I mean, and it's you know, robbery, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I did try this going into the courtroom.
Yeah.
I don't know if I succeeded.
Right. Okay.
But I didn't have anyone to go in with.
Okay. Well. That is, when there are things like that, finding out what the legal right of access is the key. because the enemy operates only in terms of legal right and access, so he only does what he's allowed to do. And if there is an accusation that is against us that gives him that right, then we need to find out what the accusation is and remove the right, and then begin to operate from the freedom that we have from that. And that's what we get. When you do a court case, you're looking, what is my accuser? So in your situation, why, you know, if this is a familiar spirit or something that's attached to your family, or, you know, why is it there? And so, you know, I convene a court session, you know, it's mobile, God turns up in his throne, because it's the mobile throne of Ezekiel 1:11, and Jesus is my advocate, and I just stand already clothed in righteousness. It comes out of Zechariah 3, you know, 1 to 5. And turn that off. And once I've commanded the accusers to face me, because I'm in a court, I have a right to hear my accuser, so that's the whole system of justice. I have a right to hear my accuser. Then, whether this is a whole visual process or not, I wouldn't be too concerned about it. It's like, okay, by faith, This is what Zechariah 3 says. You know, you can stand before your accuser. God clothes you in righteousness. You're covered with his righteousness, his word, his love, and you hear the accusation. Now, that may come if you're very visual and you're in the court and you can see it all and you're in it, that's great. If not, you wait in to hear the thoughts that come into your mind, which are the accusations, you know. And okay, what are they? Well, that might come to you as a memory, something all of a sudden a memory comes up into your mind of something that happened. Okay, it may be a word, just a simple word. It could be a direct, in your generation you did this, you know, because it's not always about us, because the sins of the fathers can be visited on third and fourth generation.
Actually, when you were first saying, was it something to do with your family, it sort of registered to me.
Yeah, and so, I mean, for instance, we had somebody here in church who were having a problem financially getting paid for a job that they'd done. They were a sort of handyman type business, building type thing. They'd done some work and the people just weren't paying. You know, I sent them an invoice, didn't pay. It gets all awkward, doesn't it, when people don't pay?
Yeah.
So he went into the court, and we were just teaching how to do this. He went into the court, he took that case into the court, and he heard the accusation, family business. And so it was like, okay. So then it's like, what family business? And it's like, okay, your father did this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh. So some sort of unrighteous act in business in the past. So he stood on behalf of his father and he repented and renounced of that action. And he received the verdict, not guilty. Because that's what happens, you get a not guilty verdict. That gives you a right to enforce that verdict. So I am not guilty, you have no legal right to block this anymore, therefore I demand that this finance be released. So within a day, the finance was released. They phoned him up and said, oh, we're really sorry we haven't paid the invoice, the check's in the post.
Yeah, thank you. So it's done. Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to take a paper or anything to God and get God's permission to...
No, he gives you the court order as a verdict, because essentially, if there's an accusation, whether we've done it or our family have done it, when we identify and we renounce it and repent of it, he basically gives you a court order that says you are separate from this access. You have the authority to live free from this. And you use that. You say you take that court order, it's like, I'm taking it into my heart, that is the truth that I'm going to live from. And if the enemy tries to contest that truth, because in right you can have a court order which is a restraining order against someone, it doesn't mean that actually the person can't break the order, it just means that if they do, there are consequences. So sometimes the enemy will test whether we believe the verdict, So if you're trying to be set free from a mindset, you might get the thought come into your mind. That's when you have to take it captive on the basis of this verdict. No, I'm not listening to that. I'm applying this. I rebuke that thought. Or you can do a contempt of court case. So when the enemy is in contempt of court, so they break the court order, you take them back to court, and then they face the judge for contempt of court. They might like that. Because the judge can put you in prison if you're in contempt of court. It can be really serious, no matter, and he can put you in there with no further course than you're in contempt of court. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really powerful tool in the natural realm that a judge has if you're in contempt of court. Well, if they're in contempt of court, then the judge will issue judgment. And they don't like that. And so I found that it doesn't take very long before they realize you know your authority, and then you then can take that mandate, which is an authorization for you to act on the truth. That means blessing. So if this is designed to rob you and steal from you and financially, then you can begin to, on the basis of this, I live in blessing.
Yeah.
So I could actually see all these things stopped, but then I can actually see all that they've robbed from me restored.
Yeah.
So I can see a restoration of that which has been lost, so I can begin to call those things in on the basis of that mandate.
I've been calling that 10 grand back for years.
There you go.
You know,
But does it make any difference because my husband's pre-Christian?
No, because you carry the governmental authority.
Yeah, I just wondered if there was...
Yeah, no. I mean, you may need to stand on his behalf for things he can't do, but you can. You have the right, because family is part of your sphere of governmental influence. You can stand on his behalf, and you can, because there may be things that are in his family line that are, because you're one. So you have, you know, that where, you know, there is access to both because of both, you know, but then you can deal with that. But you know, we have got lots of testimonies where we've seen, you know, some pretty amazing things. I mean, some little things, but really interesting. You know, we had one of actually Jo was on reception. She sent a parcel in November for Christmas, and it didn't arrive. And it's like, you know, so she got to the end of January, and it was like, it still didn't arrive. So she thought, okay, well, what's going on? What's stopping this parcel getting there? So she went into the court and did whatever she did, and exactly what she did. Within a day, the parcel arrived. And then she testified on a Sunday, someone took that testimony, and they had sent a parcel 6 months ago, and it hadn't arrived. They took the same testimony, and within a day, it had arrived. You know, just because God's interested in
everything.
You know, those little things, you know, because he wants us to live in a place of blessing. Now, doesn't mean that we don't have things to overcome, because we do. We still have to deal with the things of life, because the storms of life come, but we can live in the eye of the storm. We don't have to be subject to those things in the same way that others are. We can begin to see those things changed as we learn how to operate in the authority that we have, you know, as God's children. I mean, we have a lot more authority than we've really understood. And that authority then begins to expand in terms of what you can do, you know, using the different courts of heaven, and there's a whole process of different courts that you can legislate things, and you can begin things into being, and depending on what you're called to do. But that's sort of a major one that people, you know, need to learn to administer, you know. And it's like, you know, it's like Jesus can't undo what the enemy's got a legal right to do. It's the same with Peter. You know, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has desired to sift you. Jesus didn't say, well, I told him he can't. He said, I pray that your faith won't fail. Because Peter wasn't able to go and stand for the accusation himself. So Jesus stood in as advocate, but it was, you are limited in what you can do here. But he still had a right to do it. And I think that's what we've got to realize. When we recognize that we can face our accuser, you know, we don't have to argue. One of the things I didn't do that. You know,
I didn't.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Well, now it's
guilty,
like,
I'm guilty.
I'm. If, because he won't lie, he can try and lie to me here and deceive me, but he can't lie in the presence of the king.
No.
You know, he has to tell the truth. So it's like, okay, there is no smoke without fire. If you're saying that this is the accusation, okay, I may not see that,
yeah.
And I can't even remember doing anything, but actually if I have, or if my family line have done it, I'm willing to stand here and say,
absolutely.
I accept the accusation, I come under the accusation, yeah. Then I can come under the judgment. If I don't come under the accusation, I can't come under the judgment.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when I first was involved in this stuff, it's like, well, pride, isn't it? It's like, well, I don't want to admit that. You know, I'm sure that I didn't do that. Well, actually, I learned very quickly that just didn't get you anywhere. You know, so it's actually, look, the judgment is going to be made in our favour, so let's accept that there are accusations that give legal rights. Let's remove them.
Yeah.
And then once they're removed, then you have the authority continue to operate in that truth.
Mm.
But we do have to then outwork it. It's not just automatic. Sometimes you have to, okay, I'm going to stand on this. I'm going to administrate this, if in effect, you know, this is the truth. I'm going to work this. It works. You know, but I have to believe it and act on it. And the enemy's always trying to get us not to believe, to be in doubt and unbelief.
Yeah.
You know, that's that. If he can get us in doubt and unbelief, we're stuck. Because,
yeah.
You know, you can't have that which you haven't got faith for. You know, so it's always, you know, and he will use the intimidation of things that, you know, come against us, you know, and it's always about trying to get us to see God in a wrong light. Because if we can see God as a miser, then we won't think he's going to bless us. If we think God is someone who's going to punish us all the time, then we'll be fearful of him. You know, it'll be like, oh, well, I'm going to bury my talent because you're a hard taskmaster. Well, who told him he was a hard taskmaster? God isn't. He's always smiling. He's always loving. His countenance is always good. We just have to see him like that and know that he wants to bless us, and we live in his in favour, in relationship with him.
Yeah.
No, the God that the religion has portrayed is not the God that I know.
Yeah.
You know, there is no punishment for me. Jesus took it all.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have to fear God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can be in awe of him. Sometimes you wow. It's like, but I don't fear him in that negative way. And a lot of people do. They're waiting for God to pounce on them, because they think, oh, if I get it wrong, every time I get something wrong is an opportunity for me to learn and do it better next time. Because there's no condemnation. There's just an opportunity to grow and to mature. Yeah. So, but it's great. You know, God's a good God all the time.
Could I come along here just to learn, please?
Could you come along here to learn? Well, in what sort of context?
Well, everything. I think I've got to start right from the beginning.
But you'll find that there's a lot of stuff you already know.
Yes, I know.
Instinctively.
There are things that I've done that I know that, you know, in the heavenlies and all that kind of thing. But I'm not very sure-footed, and could I just come along once a week, or just for a couple of weeks, so that I know what I'm doing? Because I'm just by myself.
Yeah. Okay. So what's going on then with you getting together as a group? You know.
Well, we all left MPM.
So what was all that about? Was you just felt God wanted you to leave?
Well. For me, I mean, it was Fee left first.
Yeah.
Then I left. Well, I was quite ill.
Yeah.
As well, and so in fact, I went to Lindy and said, "I'm so ill, I can't seem to manage." Because it was full on for me and Lindy.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
We lived together, yeah. You know, and it was like, it was ministry up and down the country.
Yeah.
And when she went abroad, it was, you know, and so it was full on. And then I became quite ill. But, you know, it was, yeah. So I had to confront Lindy with this. And she sort of said, well, only come in when you're teaching, or only come in when you're doing this. But it's like, I just needed a rest.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
And just felt, you know, but I felt I still had to go, and then I had a heart attack. So
right.
It's like, yeah. So, and who others left? I think the vision changed.
All right.
A bit, I think. Mm-hmm.
So what do you feel called to do?
Me?
Yeah, well, both, all of you. Because in a sense, if you feel on your own, then it's like, it's not a good place to be.
No.
So,
well,
you know.
Fran moves in a lot of different circles to
right.
us.
Yeah. So you what's so why do you feel alone then?
Well, I feel alone in this. I mean, right. I go out on the streets evangelising.
Yeah.
I go with Doreen and I go with some other people as well. My heart is for evangelism. I mean, you start talking about the end times and I start crying because I think of all the people who are going to be left behind.
Yeah.
It's, it's horrible. I don't want to hear about the end times.
No,
I'm sorry.
No. Well,
we've
got a lot of work to do to see a lot of people saved before that. So.
Yeah, that's right.
I know. I mean, people being sex trafficked,
yeah.
People with HIV, there was that anointing that I received as well for healings and that kind of thing. And I mean, I've been to Thailand, I've been to Cambodia, I arranged a trip out there.
So are you still connected with Sue Davies and stuff?
Yeah, I do go there. I mean, yeah, I go there on a Wednesday. What the Lord has told me just recently, he's told me to, I was going to healing rooms, he's told me to come out of that.
Yeah.
I was doing this John G. Lake ministry thing for so many weeks.
Yeah.
She was trying to set up her own church actually, which I didn't feel to get involved in, and I felt the Lord told me to come out of that.
Yeah.
And I said to him, do you want me to join a church? Mm. And he said no. You know, on a Sunday and all that kind of thing. So I'm going along to CSA and out on the streets, and that's all I'm doing until I hear anything different.
Sure. Yeah.
But I've always, I mean, at the beginning when you were talking, I mean, I was nearly crying because I just wanted this so much.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it is about rest and relationship to begin with.
Mm.
You know, it's not about doing stuff, it's about being and
well, that's what he's told me, he's told me to come out of it.
Yeah. And I think he's doing that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sound that's coming out of heaven that's drawing people out of the old into something new. You know, and people are getting drawn, even if they don't know what it is. It's like there's a drawing, there's something that's saying there's God, there's more, you know, and it's drawing to our destiny really of being a royal priesthood.
Mm.
It's like, which is operating on the other side of the veil.
Mm.
It's like,
sometimes it is lonely, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
but
oh yeah.
Periods of time,
I mean, I've been
so
very
lonely
in the past,
yeah.
you
yeah,
know. But I feel, well, I'm not, I'm full of all sorts of people, it's great, you know, but I feel, you know, totally at rest in peace.
Yeah, she said, "Oh, he looks younger."
Well, I keep taking communion and turning about the clock.
That's right. Take communion every day.
Yeah, I do that every day.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that the Lord just told me to do is to. I mean, I used to be quite artistic, and that was one of the things I buried.
Yeah.
So he's sort of telling me to, and to get a bit more artistic again. But I mean, that's also to relax, to get into him. As well.
Because
I mean,
it's that releasing the creativity
that
brings
amazing.
You into that place of peace and rest in him.
I do hear from God. I'm not saying I don't.
Yeah.
I don't feel that if I'm in the heavenlies. I mean, I've seen the cloud of witnesses and things like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's because I don't feel sure-footed at the moment, and
I mean, I think a lot of it is many people have had many sorts of encounters. They just can't do it when they need to do it.
It's because I used to be in the occult, and I'm feeling. I think maybe that's it. It's just hit me in there.
Yeah,
That I might go off on the
wrong track. Yeah, and I think that is what a lot of people feel. Well, this sounds a bit weird. And it sounds, well, yeah, the enemy counterfeits everything that's good and real. And in that, there may well be, sometimes as a result of that, there can be blockages.
Mm.
And the fear is, as you say, if I do this, will this lead me down a path?
Mm.
And the reality is, I think this is where Jesus said, well, if you ask the Father for a fish, he ain't going to give you a stone.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to trust God more to bless us and protect us than the enemy asks to receive us. Because I'm not going to give the enemy any credit at all. So, you know, you won't be led astray because your heart, God is looking at your heart. That's the key. You have a heart to pursue and a desire to pursue him. And then everything will flow out of that. You know, and I do believe God is going to establish places where people can be connected in these things. You know, and right now, you know, you may just be, you know, finding some relationship. I'd encourage you to just hang out and practice doing some of these things together. You know, and you know, if you've got a small group of people who are beginning to engage, it's actually what is that? What's the purpose? You know, is that okay? We're just helping each other, or actually, is God giving you something more of a mandate that will be establishing something governmental? I can tell you the truth. It's like God had a desire for CSA to be a church, and they rejected that desire. I don't think Sue
realized
that, I know she had the vision because she told me, and God gave her a very clear vision, and Patricia King said no. Yeah, and so they didn't. And you know, when I went down there, I had very clear prophetic pictures that, you know, you people were just coming to the fire and they were going away and going cold and they were coming, and that's what they're doing. They're taking no responsibility for people, and therefore you can do all the evangelism in the world, but where's the discipleship?
Well, this is the thing, you see, is because I when I'm out on the streets, I mean, you know, the love letter from God.
Yeah.
Well, I've just found that in a card form with a lovely envelope with a heart on the front for someone special. And it was absolutely wonderful over the weekend. We were giving it out. And people were crying, receiving it.
Putting it in the hands, made them cry.
I go to one guy who was in a wheelchair and he started manifesting. I thought, I've never seen this before. And he was literally tied. Anyway. We went out with that, and we've bought these now, and I mean, it's so beautiful. On the back, it's got a space to put your church. Now, there is Living Waters in Torquay, and the guy is very, is really trying to get things going, but I don't feel to join the church. And I went on that Reinhard Bonnke evangelistic course, and he told us, you know, how to set things up when someone comes. So I told Tony, the pastor, and I know it's taken him a year to do it, but he's got these little cards printed, and he started up. When he's changing the structure of his church, so if someone knew a Christian, he's starting discipleship courses. So I thought to send people here, because it's in Torquay. CSA is no good for that.
No.
I hate to say.
It isn't.
No, it's not. It's for that relationship thing, is it? So building.
That's where I'm feeling to send people.
Okay.
But that's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It's a starting point for people. Yeah. Ultimately, though, you want people to come into the same revelation that you've got and you're living in. And, you know, that's why I think God wants to establish something which is more tangible than that. And I think that's why he's calling.
Start your own church, Joel, don't worry.
Well, you see, part of the problem is, you see, we use the word church, and it carries an Anglo-Saxon. It's an Anglo-Saxon word that carries with it a load of baggage and garbage for most of us.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, the Greek word was ecclesia, and ecclesia just meant a gathering of people around a purpose. And it's like, what is the purpose? And if you haven't got a purpose, then there's no point gathering.
Yeah.
In a sense of seeing people gathered together. Yeah. But if there is purpose, God will reveal that blueprint.
Yeah.
This is the purpose. And then you can establish government around it.
Yeah.
And then things will start to... God will come to occupy it. Because God is looking around and he's looking for what looks like him.
Yeah.
And not a lot looks like him. Because not a lot reflects heaven.
No.
And... unfortunately, there are a lot of people who have rejected embracing the call that God has put out, and they're not in a good place right now, and won't be unless they start to respond.
Yeah.
So God is looking for obedient people to say, yeah, we've heard this call, let's gather.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, you've got a few of you are starting to gather. Mm. What is that for?
Yeah, but it's, yeah, what's the been a few weeks,
what's the blueprint for that? You know, because there will be a purpose that God gives you, and once you have that, purpose, it's like, okay, what are we gonna do with that? You know, and that purpose can be way different from what we've seen as well. This is what church is.
Yeah.
You know, because we're so conditioned into, well, it's this and it's this and it's this, because that's been our only experience.
Mm.
But in reality, it doesn't have to be that way. Mm. You know, it can be a totally different expression of people engaging God.
Yeah.
And you know, when people are saved, if you get them saved in a personal encounter where they actually have a vision of God and they encounter Him, then they're going to follow on that pathway. Well, there aren't many places that are leading people to engage God other than God getting them to pray a prayer. Rather than, okay, if we actually said, okay, just close your eyes a minute and actually think of yourself now carrying a whole load of baggage and junk, and there's a father in front of you with his arms open and he's waiting for you, but you can't do it with all this junk, and there standing is Jesus, and he wants you to give him all this junk, and then you can come and be embraced by the Father. Well, if someone actually experienced that, they would have no doubt of their salvation. Whereas if you say, well, pray this prayer, okay, they prayed a prayer. Now, they may have prayed it from their heart, and they may, their spirit may be come alive with that. But then what they're entering into becomes not tangibly experiential. And we want people to experience God, because that's what our relationship is, in a personal experience with God. And so, you know, okay, drinking living water, there's so many examples that the Bible gives us for what we do. Light, you know, it's like the veil's going to come off your eyes and the light of God is just going to pour into you. Or, you know, you're going to drink this water that God gives you, and actually now you've got a fountain of water in your spirit, because your now spirit is alive with a fountain of water, and you can drink from it every day. Well, a simple almost exercise of engaging God in salvation then becomes the pattern for how we live. So when we have baptism things, we don't just dunk someone under the water. We encourage them to see an open heaven and the voice of God coming out of heaven saying, you are my beloved child, I'm really pleased in you.
Beautiful.
Because that's what happened at Jesus' baptism. Right. So it becomes an personal experience, which is then something which you can't take away. So I think I think God wants everything we do to become experiential, but we have to have people who are willing to help people and disciple people into that experience, because they've had it themselves.
Mm.
You know, and that, I think, is God is looking for those people. And there are people who are like, well, I don't want to be part of this. I feel not called to be part of anything. Because, well, why would you want to be part of something which is an old wineskin when God is looking for a new one? And if you can't find a new wineskin, you may well be saying, I want you to be that new wineskin.
Well, it's funny, because I went to Living Waters the other Sunday, and the youth pastor who spoke, and he said, anybody wants more of God and their eyes opened, come forward for prayers. So I thought, yes, please. So, anyway, this guy and his wife comes up to me and said, what do you want? So I said, well, more of God. I said, doesn't everyone? And they said, no. I was horrified. I couldn't believe what they said. I mean, you know, I thought, well, what's the point of being a Christian?
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people are caught up in the sort of the religious aspect of it, unfortunately.
Just happy with the salvation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of the end of some people.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it never went any further, because they never learned to become friends of God and in relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who are really good stewards, stewarding well the things that God has called them to do, but they're too busy in their stewardship to listen to Him say, I want you to be my friends.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
It's a call to friendship and intimacy, which will open up everything else. But so many people are, I hear a lot with the leaders here, working with them, encouraging them, and they're just so busy.
Mm.
that they haven't got the time to respond to God saying, I want intimacy with you. And it's like, what do you do with that? I mean, it's like, okay, well, it's like, I can't go around the mountain again and again with them. You have to say, okay, well, God's going to call people who do want intimacy then, you know, because he will. You know, he wants people to respond to him in that way. So I'm not really sort of sure how, you know, I can help you in this from a distance, other than you can join our hangout, you know, in a sense of, you know, there's a UK hangout. Yeah, there's a UK hangout that's is every couple of weeks.
Don't mind coming here.
Well, you can. I mean, you know, in a sense, obviously, every Sunday we have a meeting that is experiential and designed to equip people in this. But obviously, we're on, you know, module 3, session 13, 14, not the beginning.
Some catching up to
do. Yeah. Yeah. I personally haven't got the capacity. To take on too much else, and I am, you know, I'm away in 3 weeks, so to America for 3 weeks, so I wouldn't want to start something that I couldn't continue. I would encourage you to begin to get together with these ladies and explore this yourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and you can okay, you know, if you want to, you know, follow some of the material, that's great, but it's what it is getting to a point where this is our lifestyle. It's not just something we do now and again. And a lot of people have had amazing visions, but they don't know how to go back to them.
Yeah.
And I think the saddest thing is those who are giving testimonies of their encounter with heaven 20 years ago, and they've never had another one. Because that's just like, well, my testimony should be what I've done today, not what I did 20 years ago, and it's sad.
Present or future.
You know, I mean, but these things are opening up. I mean, you think 20 years ago, the only person I knew who had any engagement with heaven at that point in time was probably Ian McCormack, the jellyfish man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had to die. And I wasn't very keen on going through that experience to have that sort of encounter, because it wasn't presented as something you could do.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, heaven is real.
Yeah.
Great, so get saved, which is great.
Yeah.
But now you look at how many people are engaging in these things. God has just opened up the realm and is calling people to come home, really, and to come back into their eternal place of destiny.
Yeah. Like Kat Kirk.
Yeah, she's certainly interesting, yeah. She's had, you know, a few interesting experiences and stuff. You know, and there's loads of people out there who now are saying, this is how we live. Yeah. You know, and I think that whole change, you know, it's been the last 3 years have been a significant turning point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at the other day, 3 years ago God spoke to me and said, look, you need to prophesy that you need 3 years of preparation, and there's a transition period of 3 years. I'm like, okay, well, I can prophesy that to people here. But I was prophesying it wider than that, I think. But I'm going to release that. And I've sort of been contemplating, okay, well, where are we and what God's doing, and, you know, what is sort of what's going to happen into the next generation, different things. And it suddenly struck me that 3 years ago, 2012, Mark Verkler, you know Mark Verkler?
Mm-hmm.
Good, really nice guy. He contacted me and gave me a book. And it was a book which hadn't been published, but he was looking for 95 leaders to endorse this book. And it was a book called Heaven Touching Earth. And the premise of this book was that a reformation is coming to the church, just like Luther and his 95 theses that he nailed to the door.
Graham was talking about this morning to us.
All right, yeah. And he nailed this, Luther nailed the thing to the door, justification by faith, and it's like bang.
Yeah.
And it's like this guy and a number of others, they wrote this book from a perspective of, this is the reformation that God is doing in the church. It is a supernatural lifestyle. And so in it, it was all about the cloud of witnesses and angelic engagements and being able to go to heaven without dying and all this stuff. Yeah. And they basically asked for 95 leaders. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to respond to that, having had these are my experiences myself. It's right, yeah, of course I'm going to respond to it. And then they published it, and they released it onto the internet in 2012. And I believe that was the point where God was saying, this is the beginning of a reformation. This is the beginning where the church is going to be completely reformed back into its original purpose and condition by God. And they released that out, and since then, suddenly it sort of occurred to me, okay, 3 years, oh right, that's when it happened. Mm. And you know, being involved in that, that's, this 3 years for me has been a total change of everything. Mm. You know, complete change in everything I do, how I do it, everything's changed. You know, and I think, yeah, because God is... He's actually said, you have 3 years. Mm. Now, this year is the 40th anniversary in August of the prophecy that Bob Jones gave in 1975, and it was of a billionfold harvest.
Yeah.
And the whole generation has passed, and they've not prepared for that harvest. Many of them have misconstrued who the harvest was. Oh, it's all young people, and focused on, we must do all the young people. And actually, it's nothing to do with young people. It's about the whole generation who needs to be saved. And whether they're young or old is irrelevant to God. There's a united generation of people. But that was released in... And that anniversary of that 40 years is up in August. Uh-huh. And so there's an end of a generation who have been called to respond to that call and have mostly rejected it. Mm. And have not embraced being ready for that harvest. And God wants places to equip the harvest, to receive it, to be cities of refuge or storehouses, whatever you want to call them, who will receive that harvest and equip them to be the harvesters. Because that's not the end time harvest. They're just the harvesters for the end time harvest.
Yeah.
So think of a billion supernatural Jesuses out there.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to reach the world.
Yeah.
So we're going to see a huge end time release of the purposes of God, and the kingdom of God is being established and fulfilling our mandate, which is to take dominion and have the kingdom filling the earth.
Mm.
You know? But we have to have places that operate under heaven and not earth.
Mm.
And so that's why God is looking for people who will embrace a blueprint that says, we're going to be a place that's going to be operating under the law of heaven and the atmosphere of heaven, and we're going to do that on earth, and we're going to take that and we're going to expand it and take it out. You know, and you know, it's nothing to do with age or anything like that. It's to do with a willingness to respond to that call. So you know seek God together for what is that call. You know, for me, you know, I believe CSA could have been the response to that, but they chose to reject it, and they've not taken responsibility for discipling people.
I remember when that happened. Yeah.
You know, and you know, as soon as I heard that, and Sue told me this, I think, what have you done?
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, God, when I went there, I don't know when it was, a couple of years ago, it's like, I brought several pictures and prophetic words. Sue wasn't there. They were off somewhere else.
Mm.
But I've not been asked back since.
Well, I remember you coming with the sword.
Well, I did. Yeah, because God gave me a sword. He's given me a sword to draw a line.
Yeah.
So you're going to cross over the line.
Yeah.
And they weren't prepared to cross over the line. And because they're actually linked to a system that don't want them to.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, well, okay, if you're not going to accept the mandate, God is going to give it to others. And that's what he's looking for, people who will respond to that.
Mm.
Because, you know, okay, it's good to send some people somewhere, but in reality, are they going to get what God wants them to get there?
Mm.
No, probably not, because they're not walking in that revelation.
Mm.
So he wants somewhere to receive people and to equip them in the relationship and the lifestyle of the supernatural. It doesn't have to look like anything else looks like.
Yeah.
Because if you think of a blueprint as an architect's drawing, you can have a blueprint from heaven or any architect's drawing. It could look like a university, it could look like a school, it could look like a supermarket.
Mm.
you build something that looks like what the blueprint is. And who knows what the blueprint is that God's got for you. It'll look like what it's supposed to look like for you. Won't look like anything else. That is an ecclesia. That's a gathering around a purpose which won't look like anything else. You just have to see, okay, God, show us. Show us what that is. And then the government of God will be formed around that, and then it will release people into it. And that's what happens. It's a reflection of the government of heaven on earth, foundationally, not on top of a mountain, but on the bottom of it, releasing people into their destiny. You know, it's like you want people to be saved, but you want people to be finding their destiny, not just getting a fire insurance thing for, you know, I got my insurance from not going to hell. It's like, well, you have an eternal destiny. Who is going to help people find their eternal destiny and to engage what that is as a heavenly destiny? It's not just an earthly one. It's basically embracing being a royal priesthood, and that actually is on the other side of the veil. There's so much spiritual warfare, and all that stuff has been done on this side of the veil, and has caused people to come under a weight of stuff. And we need to do it on the other side of the veil. And actually, we don't need to see, we don't have to have warfare, we just have to get a court order verdict that says you have authority here. Now administer it. I'm not fighting against the enemy, I'm having authority over him. And a lot of what we've done is spiritual warfare, when actually the process is to get a verdict that then you can use, which authorizes you.
Do you also use the angels to do things for you?
We do most of the stuff with the angels.
Angels.
Yeah.
Dispatch angels.
Yeah, we do it all the time. Because they are the ministering spirits for us. I don't go into the atmosphere of the earth to try and deal with something in the atmosphere of the earth. That's not my role. They do. When we send them.
So do you know how many different kinds of angels there are? I've been asked to ask that question.
How many different kinds? There's a canopy of the angelic, which is 10 different orders of angels. But
it
talks about myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands. So within that, each of those spheres, there are 100 million different angels in each sphere.
Wow.
And that's just the canopy that's around the throne of God. And when God is on our throne, is around us. And so there are 10 orders, and they have different functions, and they have different jobs to do, and they're all individual angels that we can engage with. So there's, you know, the chaos, which is the living creatures. So they're all the, you know, fiery horses and chariots and fiery swords and stuff which doesn't look very human, because they're not, they're living creatures. And they have, you know, one of the most significant angelic orders is that, and their Metatron is, I don't know if you've heard of Metatron, but he's the chief of that angelic order. And he is the key keeper and the timekeeper of the realms of heaven. And he can give you keys to unlock seasons and places. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is being released about Metatron, because he's having much more effect in these new orders. But you have, you know, you have the chaos, you have the Ophanim, which are the wheels within wheels, the power sources. You know, you have lots of different orders. You have the Elohim, Ben Elohim, Ishim, who are the sort of real heavy duty warfare angels. You have the seraphim, burning ones. You have the kashmilim, which are the shining ones, all the worshipping banners and the color streams that come into worship. They love just settling on people and that whole things. You know, often people close their eyes in worship and they see color.
And there's that sort of flickering
colors. Well, that's the kashmilim. They love worship. You know, you have those different orders, Malachim with the messenger angels, and there are others. You know, you have chancellors, you've got, you know, different orders of angels. There is a court of angels that you can go with a mandate and you get angels assigned to a particular purpose, and you can, you know, use them, send them out, you know, to go before.
So when you send them out, what do you go to the courts and ask for them, or do you just send them out yourself?
Personally, on my own mountain, I have my own personal angels. You know, I have an angel, which is a watcher angel that's watching my throne. When I wasn't mature enough to be there, it watched it and did stuff for me. You know, now I'm there, it's there. Sometimes, you know, I'm needing to interact with it less and less because I'm knowing more and more how to do stuff. But it's there to help me in that position of government. Two guardian angels that are with me as ministering spirits that I send out every day ahead of me to prepare the day. You know, and just sort of interact with them. Sometimes they're involved in ministry, different things. When I have something specific, if I have a mandate for something, then I can take it to the court of angels. And, you know, like God in the Old Testament was in Kings, it says that God in his assembly said, right, okay, we're going to deal with this guy Ahab. Who's going to be willing to go? And an angel said, yeah, send me. You know, and so there's a volunteer for certain assignments. You just have to go and present what you're called to do. If you know what you have authorization to do, then they respond. And yeah, I clear the atmosphere over anything we're doing here by sending our church angel to do it. I don't go and bother with that stuff because that's a realm that they need to deal with. But there are other, I mean recently I was on my mountain and I was sitting there and I was sort of, okay, I was just about to frame my day and, you know, create favour and blessing over my day and stuff. And Jesus turned up, which he didn't normally turn up there, but he turned up and he said, right, I want you to issue a call. I want you to send out a blue frequency of light that contains a call for those to cross over out of the wilderness into the promised land. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, how do you do that? I have no idea how to do it. So I'm like, so I was like, okay, well, you told me to do it. So I just let my spirit release something. I said something. I saw a blue light coming out of this crown. I'm like, okay. And that was it. I'm just like, oh, okay. Done. I didn't think any more of it until the next time he told me to do it again. And I was actually here. First time I was 2 weeks later, I was in a meeting with the other leaders and friend of mine, he said, okay, do you know anything about blue lights? So I sort of started smiling and I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, have these dancing blue lights have been around me for the last two weeks?
Wow.
So, okay, well, so I then said, well, this is what I was called to do. When I started to say what I was called to do, he was just like, and since then I've had, I don't know, a dozen people all over the world basically saying, we had a blue light, ball of light came and visited me in my room, had this curtain of blue light come around me, you know, and it's like, you do, and I sent out angels with a scroll, with a blue thing. Now, why blue? Well, blue has certain heavenly connections with wisdom and different things, and, you know, blue light is, you know, a reflection of God himself. And people experience it. Now, some people saw it, some people just felt drawn to something, but we can start doing those type of things that will call people and draw people to the place they're supposed to be. And we need to be in the right place. You know, Jacob had an amazing experience under Bethel when the, you know, the ladder was from earth to heaven, and the Lord was standing in the doorway of heaven and angels were going up and down and all this stuff. And, you know, he called it the house of God and the gateway of heaven. Mm. You know, and he was told to live there.
Mm.
And he chose not to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bizarrely, because he was a herdsman and he'd gone to all the trouble of getting all these herds off his uncle who tried to do him out of them,
he
wasn't willing to let it go, because Bethel is a mountain region. And there's no pasture. So rather than saying, okay, well, we'll sell all this stuff and let's become quarrymen or whatever else for his family, living under an open heaven with the angelic engagement, he decided to go to Shechem and other places and took all his flocks, and he had no end of trouble.
He did.
Daughter gets raped. It's like father, his kids start commit genocide. His eldest son commits incest or goes with his concubine or all this. Why? Because he was not living in the right place. He should have lived in Bethel. Forget the flocks. He was living under an open heaven.
So that gives us a good lesson, doesn't it?
We need to be in the right place.
Right. Place.
So what happened to Sue and Claire and back now?
I don't know.
Just carry on.
They'll carry on. If they're open to hear God, then they will change what they're doing. If they're not, they'll carry on doing what they're doing, being directed to do that by others, and they will, the glory will leave. I mean, that's what's coming in August. This verdict that God is looking, and after 40 years is saying, well, what looks like me, all those who've heard a call and have rejected it, it's Ichabod. It's like, I'm leaving. And actually, you know, like with Samson, the anointing left him, he didn't even know. And then that will be the saddest thing. People don't realize, actually, God is no longer in this. You know, you guffed across. And the sad thing is, you know, they do glory schools and everything else to help people get into heaven and do things, but they've got no idea what it's about. They're not teaching people how to rule. And because we had a little bit to do with them, and they came here and we had some stuff, and they asked me to come and talk to them. And I came and talked to them after I had my fast and I had encountered all this stuff.
Mm.
And as I was talking to them, it was like they just didn't understand.
No.
They had no... I mean, they had Ian Clayton
and
there.
And Claire watches your stuff.
All right, does she?
Yeah.
All right.
Claire watches your stuff.
All right.
Yeah, she
does. But, you see, I was talking to them and it was like, you do glory schools, but you don't actually have a actual personal experience of what this is about, rather than, well, we have heavenly things and whatever. It's like, and I could see that
they are governed by petition, because we've said, you know, we saw things and do this, and they said, well, you know, not at this instant or whatever.
Well, it was all a bit when they did the conference a few years ago and Patricia King was there.
Yeah.
It was like I was invited to the room to meet her so that I could be vetted to see whether it was okay for relationship.
Right.
And it was like, I was like, well, okay. I was like, if that's what you do, okay. Because they were looking for some sort of relationship. Well, I was okay, well, I'm happy for a relationship. God wants to establish a relationship. Happy.
Mm.
But it was just this sort of thing. I was like, well, you need to be vetted by this person that I'm never going to see again.
Mm.
And it's like, well, okay, yeah, you're a nice guy. So it's like, but when I then started to talk to them about, well, what are you looking for in terms of relationship?
Mm.
And very clearly I saw what God was saying. Before she's told me about this vision that she'd had, I saw it. And I knew that God was saying, you need, and I said, you know, you need to take responsibility for what God's doing here.
Yeah.
You can't just pass on responsibility for everyone else.
Mm.
And it's like we were talking the same words, but it was a different language.
Mm.
It was just like, in that sense, it's like, you know, we haven't really connected since I went down and spoke a couple of years ago. You know, I think probably it was challenging because it was. You know, I shared some testimony, and then I just shared a whole load of prophetic pictures and words that God had given, and it was like, you need to get your acts together and start taking responsibility for what God's called you to.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it wasn't as blunt as that, and it was interpretable, but for me, it was like it was really clear what God was saying, but they couldn't respond.
Yeah,
and it was like, okay, I know that there are a lot of people
sometimes
who've had an invitation.
It's so costly, isn't it?
It is. You have to be willing to let go of the old to embrace the new.
Yeah.
You can't have new wine in an old wineskin.
No, it's very
no matter how new the wineskin actually looks, it's not new.
No, not if God speaks.
No. And so, in a sense, they have they do glory schools to help people engage heaven, but they're not actually living out of that heavenly government. They're not living out of it. They're not operating in it, because they're not operating. God said, here's a blueprint, this is what I want you to do, and someone has said, no, you can't do that. Well, you're going to listen to God? Well, the implication is, actually, to do that, you need to leave CSA and you need to establish what God has given you as a blueprint, and you need to be responsible and accountable.
Yeah.
And you can't, she can't turn around and say, well, actually, sorry, it's Patricia King's fault. Because you didn't have to listen to Patricia King. You said, look, God has spoken to me. I have to do this. I can do this with your blessing, or I can do this without it. But I have to do it because God's told me to do it. And unfortunately, that didn't take place. And so I do believe that there's a whole sort of disparate group of people down there who really need to be discipled. And what they're getting is, come and listen to this guy, come and listen to this guy, come and listen to this guy, come and listen to this woman. Yeah, we're going to give you stuff that will... But actually, we're not responsible for you. Do your own thing.
Right.
We're not taking responsibility to actually help you fulfill your destiny.
You don't see them people moving on.
No, because they aren't. That's the picture I had. People coming to a roaring fire, and then the fire, they dies down and they leave. And then there's another fire, and then they come, and then they leave. And they're just like, come and listen to this.
No, they don't.
Wow, wow, wow. And then go back, and there's no way of actually living it out.
They don't want to come out on the streets of him.
Right.
It's a bit too radical.
But they used to.
We all these little places to go, don't we?
Yeah.
We're now going round to this Anglican church in King's Kerswell that had a coffee morning. And there's all these women in there. And
there's about 18 of them, isn't there?
Yeah.
18 women.
And they think we're healers.
Mm.
They all go to church. I'm thinking, but mind you, the vicar's nuts.
I feel there is a blueprint that God has for something in your area to establish a place where people can be a disciple and equipped. You just have to find it.
I'm just in limbo, you know. I am.
But see that as a place where
you can see
what God is saying.
Been speaking.
Yeah.
Yes.
Step up, Dory.
But it's only accepting the destiny that you've got.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not outside of what His purposes are for you.
No.
It's just seeing it as.
But at the minute, I'm like treading water.
Yeah.
And I'm at Brunel Manor. It's like I'm just doing that because that's what I do.
Right.
But I know it's not what God's got for
me.
Yeah. I know that.
Well, I would encourage those that you are meeting with and get together and just to actually seek God. Is there anything you want to show us in terms of what you want us to do?
That's it.
And what does it look like?
And wait till He speaks.
Yeah.
And wait till He speaks.
Thank you.
And then you can support and encourage each other.
Yeah.
And wait till He speaks. You know, and you know, if I can do anything to help, whatever, you know, I'm really happy to.
Oh,
you know. I'm sort of engaging with people all over the world, but it's about engaging the government of God there, and that's what it, you know, that's the key, is to see something that reflects heaven on earth, and that will be very different from anywhere else. You know, it won't be a CSA, it won't be a marketplace ministry, it will be whatever it is for you. And what that looks like will be determined by what the blueprint looks like. But there will be spheres of government that God gives you that you're called to administrate, and there will be others that are drawn to that, and you can release the sound that draws the people to it. And then they will begin to find, wow, I can actually fulfill my destiny rather than someone else's.
Because you want
people to find their destiny and to outwork it. You know, not to pigeonhole people and put people into a box. It's like the blueprint actually releases people to be them, because they will shape what things look like, because they will release who they are. And there are a whole load of people who don't know who they are, and they're looking to be discipled in their destiny.
Absolutely.
You know? I've had people come up to me and say, "Well, you meant to me, I say no. I'll tell you what I know, but you know, you've got to ask Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but see, but it's helping people to connect with the Holy Spirit, because some people can't. They don't. Not. Yeah. It's not easy. Some people don't know what to do. This is new. You know, a lot of people is like, don't even have the language, but there's something in their spirit that's stirring, because God is stirring it. You know, He's the sound is going out, and they're like, what is this? I'm discontent, because actually it stirs things up to say, well, this isn't it.
That's right.
This isn't it. I know this isn't it. I don't know what is, but I know this isn't.
I mean, even going to CSA for the, well, I've hardly been there really much for the past year, but you know, I'm thinking, is there any point in going in? But I thought, I've got to go somewhere and get some feeding, but, you know.
Well, you know, that's where, if you're together with like-minded people, then you can just begin to engage together. Because, in a sense, you know, you can get teaching from anywhere.
That's true.
You know, it's like, you know, there's resource for teaching all over the world, everywhere.
But it's not that, is it?
It's not God. That. It's about hearing God for yourselves and having the relationship with God, which releases you into everything God's called you to do.
Mm.
And that may well be something beyond what you can imagine or think. Because it's not about what you can imagine or think, it's about what He's going to reveal. You know, and... You know, and you form a bench of three around that, and you add the angel of the house around that to bring agreement, and you then start to see that released. You know, and God will...
Why does it have to be three?
Because God is three.
That's the only reason.
I mean, essentially, I've got a picture God showed me of how to explain what it is. And
I don't love that
picture. Let me see if I can... find it. Okay, here.
Fire.
Let me stick it over on this screen because it's going to be bigger over it.
That's a big microphone you have there.
Yeah, it's designed to sort of pick up from the front and not behind. Essentially, in heaven, you've got the bench of three. You've got Father, Son, and Spirit. They're on the throne.
Yeah.
And the throne of God, the mountain of God, Mount Zion, is like a mountain. That represents a mountain. It's a place of authority.
Yeah.
And so... they have a blueprint in heaven for every person, for every church, ecclesia, for every town, for every region. There's a blueprint. There's something God has established that His desire is. And so once you have the light shining on this, if you like, it produces a shadow on the earth.
Yeah.
So the light of God, and you have here the royal priesthood, so you have the priestly and the kingly function, coming together to form an ark, a place where this can be manifested, because they're seeking for that. So then on the earth you have a shadow. So the reflection of this is, on the earth, a reflection. Most people are trying to do the same as this. We're on top of the mountain, and everyone else is under us, and we provide a covering for them. But the reality is you provide a foundation.
Yeah.
So you carry the authority for this blueprint to fill that shadow with living stones. And so everything becomes the apostolic and prophetic foundation. I'm not talking about fivefold ministry, but actually heavenly. The order of Melchizedek is the four faces of God, lion, ox, eagle, man. So that's the fullness of that representation. So in essence, you have a destiny... a blueprint for your own life, a scroll. So your bench of three is soul, spirit, soul and body coming back together in harmony. For in a church or an ecclesia, you have three people who come together that reflect this. And they then release people on the basis of what this looks like into this shadow. And God occupies that because He's looking for something that looks like Him.
Mm-hmm.
People who are occupying this on earth, mountains, apostolic movement, prophetic movement, whatever it is, and they're all on top of it, replacing God effectively for people because they provide the covering, are the things that God is going to start to say, that doesn't look like me. He's looking for simple people who can embrace the blueprint and then release people to fulfill their destiny in it.
To encourage people.
Yeah, yeah. It's just releasing people.
I love encouraging people.
Yeah, because you just want them to be who God created them to be.
That's
it. Not what can be useful to you.
Yeah.
And the danger is, if you set up something which is like that, then you try and find people to do the things that you need them to do.
Mm.
Rather than, okay, we're here, and we want to help and release you into who you should be, and what you're called to do, not what we want you to do.
Mm.
So here, we don't do any ministry that someone isn't called to do.
Mm.
So we got no children's ministry or anything like that, because no one's called to do it. Mm. People say, well, if you get more people come, if people only want to be here because we've got babysitters for them, then they're not here for the right reason. So I'd rather them somewhere else. Because actually it's a cost involved in outworking God's purposes. You have to be willing to surrender it. And if you're just looking for convenience, it's in the right place for you. And so we don't do things that God doesn't call people to do. Yeah? So we have to encourage people to hear God for themselves. So we don't sit on the top of them. God tells people by releasing the revelation to them, we encourage them to look to God, not to look to us.
Because
they're not to look to us for us to tell them what they should be doing.
That's right.
We want to point them to, because a prophet is supposed to teach people how to hear the voice of God, not just prophesy over them all the time. Same with an apostle. The apostle is not there to be covering and show, well, this is my blueprint. The apostle is saying, you can get a blueprint for yourself by going up into the realm where you can encounter God and see from his perspective, which is a totally different thing.
It's all changed about.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
And God is saying, no, that doesn't look like me.
Yeah.
You know, you've set up something that you thought looked like me, but actually you need to be a reflection of me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which is different. And so that's really what takes place. And so there may be a blueprint for a city, a town, region, nation, and different people will be called to administer those blueprints. And no one may ever know that they're doing it. Because it's not about earthly recognition, it's about being recognized in heaven.
No, this is
not interested in whether people see
what we're doing.
Nameless, faceless people.
And, so that's why we're in the dirt. People who are stood on this don't actually see this. They're looking up at this. Not down at this. But if you sit on top of there, people are all looking up to you. And they're looking for you to do stuff for them. Rather than helping them to find
the way
themselves. And to follow their own pathway and journey into it. Which is different. It is different. And this old thing, you know, it's isn't working anymore.
That's right.
And it's going to work even less when God starts to leave it more, you know, than he has done already.
Is that moving?
I don't know.
Yeah, it didn't move. It's just
tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, let's see. It's counting up.
Oh, my God.
So,
there's a lot on there now.
Yeah.
Wow. Thank you.
So, you know, I'm really willing to help support in what you're doing and encourage you in that. And if you wanted to get together maybe sometime on Hangout,
have a Hangout, that'd be a good idea.
And then you don't have to travel all the way, we can just connect up.
Yeah, I'm just actually having my computer moved into my lounge so that I can have it on the screen, on my television screen. So I'm hoping to do that so we can all get together.
Yeah, and sort of, you know, just begin to see.
So where do I start with your modules and things and
the alpha
well, the beta course, course. Just basically just sign up and just begin to work it through in your own pace, and if you want to do that together, then you can help support and encourage each other. And the basic stuff, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff just to get people on the right page, which people can just do as they go. I mean, it's talking about the Joshua generation and, you know, the sort of supernatural nature of our inheritance and our redemptive gifts and those sorts of things, just so that we understand, well, this is who we are. And we're called to something. You know, but then it gets to, okay, and these are the six things you need to know for this journey, which are basically, you know, six things, which are their videos for them. That's the place to start with people, with each other.
So what do we have to do? Sign up on the...
Yeah, there's a... I'm sure...
I thought it was by invitation. That was it? Is it?
Well, it's only by invitation in the... There's an invitation. It's the invitation is public. Okay. I mean, it's like we've got 300 odd people who signed up for it. So, in a sense, it's like if you go on our website, there's an invitation.
Okay.
You just click on it, and it will explain.
Okay.
And then you get the link to everything, and essentially just begin listen to the stuff you want to listen to in the first section. And I would encourage you to start. You know, at well, if I show you the, let me find it where it is. Is there really a shit hangout today? Ooh, no, there isn't. Every month now, where are we? Let me. If I show you the basic sort of format of the manual, okay.
How many computers have you got?
I got those screens are the link. So those four screens, they're two and two. That one's not on. That's a desktop which I don't use anymore. But basically, there's an index. Let me present it. Okay, there's an index. You click on the index.
Yeah.
Okay, and it goes into here. And this stuff is just explaining the manual, how to use the manual and stuff. The main menu's here, and you've got journey preparation. And this is really it. There's a whole lot of blog stuff which you can read. Yeah. There's two-part teaching there. And
then that transformation thing for 14 weeks is on the blog, is it?
Yeah,
Issachar.
Yeah, Sons of Issachar blog. Yeah,
Issachar.
So yeah, it's gone through the teaching over the last few years.
Yeah,
but it is up to the transformation series. That's what it's going through at the minute.
Yeah.
So basically, this really is two sessions on the Joshua generation. That's like 15 sessions on inheritance, destiny. But these are the six sessions, which are in a sense videos. There's five of them have got video. So introduction. Basically, this is what you need to know. So engage in the angelic realm, how faith works, open heaven, language of the spirit, and then I just share my testimony. And that's where you could start. The sort of this stuff is stuff which is background stuff. It's good. It's useful information.
From inheritance did you get?
No, this is the one we want.
If you're going to do something together, I would sort of start there. And then once you've done that, there's the next modules. I mean, the next modules are all the practical base camp stuff. So if I go back to that main menu, then there's module two's base camp. Mm-hmm. There's a little introduction. Then there's that. So then it's the same thing. There's spirit development. So that's really about building your spirit through tongues and different things. Meditation, how to get the flow of God's thoughts, opening the eyes of our heart, activating imagination, and then activating the eyes of our spirit. And so they all come with exercises. Now, most of this material now can be downloaded. So in here, there's three sessions on that. And then there's three sessions on that. So there's all, and they all come with activation exercises. If you go down, these are all the links to download it. If you go down into there, spirit building link, and it'll send you to the website, and then there are all the things you can download. Now, what we are doing is looking to have a one file that you can just click and download everything. But if you click on that, then you'll actually see the video, and that will be the video which basically has what I did, so you can watch it. Whatever that was, it was a while ago.
That's
last summer. I was looking a bit thinner then.
Under the stress.
But, you know, it's all explained, but, you know, for you guys, I would have thought the initial module is stuff that will be of interest, but you don't need to start there. You can just do that in your own time.
Yeah.
But I would start in just practicing, okay, if we're going to teach people how to do this, then we just need to know how to do it in a way that can we teach people. And you can use...
Is that the one that's £5 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just covers the sort of the.
Yeah. It makes you go there.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? If you're paying, it makes you go there.
Yeah, and it sort of it just and gives it us some support, so I can don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
That's so really. That's right. None of the money comes to me. Goes to for Jeremy to be able to produce the material and manage the website and to get everything sorted and everything else.
Yeah.
So that's really how it works. So the manual itself just links to all these sessions. Mm. You know, then there's a whole workshop, supernatural workshop, which is four parts, and that again was broken down into there. And some kind person in America took the four sessions, and they split all the audio exercises into just the exercise. Mm. So there are in each session there's three or four exercises that are just the audio. So you can just practice the exercise without having to listen to the whole thing, which I thought that's great. So he sent it to me, so I put it up here.
Yeah.
So people to engage. And someone actually on YouTube, they took the first session of what I did. This is, and there's some people in Seattle actually. I mean, didn't ask, I didn't really mind, because they bought it. But what they did is they put it on YouTube. So they took this session, which was a supernatural workshop, and they just put the slides in the background, and it's created masses of hits. Like, had 6,000 views of that, and that's I only published it, and they had 3,000 views on their site. But that was just the first session of a workshop I did here about practical, and it's got loads of exercises in it, which then someone broke down all the exercises so people can. Because he said, I wanted to listen to stuff in the car, when I just wanted to do the exercise. I didn't want to plow through all the rest of it. So he said, well, I cut it all up.
Wow.
Great. Can you let me have it?
You've done all the work, yeah.
So for that, that sort of, then there are all those exercises as part of that, Because the exercises are really, it's just like, I refer to it as scaffolding. You need scaffolding when you build your house. And you need it to get to the roof, and you need to. But once the house is built, you live in it.
Mm.
You didn't need scaffolding. So the exercises are really just things that help us build how to connect with God and how to experience it, and then help other people to do it.
Mm.
But when you live in it, I mean, I don't go through exercises, I just live.
Yeah.
Mm.
You live it.
Lifestyle.
They just help you. And you might find, I do all that already. Mm. And that's great.
Mm. Which he does.
Yeah.
The Lord tells her.
Yeah.
That day, what she's going to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's going to meet.
Yeah.
He wants her to do.
But you see, how you do that may be different when it comes to how does you get someone else to do it.
Mm.
So it's like, well, I do that. Well, how did I learn how to do that?
Mm.
I just do it. Mm. Well, you can't just tell someone, I just do it. Which is why it's systematic in that this is how you first tune into the thoughts of God.
Yeah.
You start reading the Word of God and you start meditating rather than trying to study it. And you allow God to reveal his thoughts about it to you.
Mm.
Well, then you're used to hearing a voice of God.
Mm.
Well, then you can enter into a conversation with God. I can talk to him and he talks to me. But if you say, well, I have a conversation with God, well, how do you do that? Yeah. I mean, someone would have no clue. But if you say, read this, start to think about it, and obviously there's exercises with the scripture to go through. And so thoughts come into my mind, which is God speaking to me. Yeah. Then you can actually take that another step. So I'm talking, God says he's going to be with me. So, okay, there's a chair. If he's with me, then I can actually picture that he's with me, and I'm going to talk to him. Because he's with me. And therefore I can then talk, so I'm going to close my eyes. He's with me. I'm going to start talking to him. So, God, I want to talk to you about this. And then you listen to what he says. Well, anybody can then build that up into, well, that's what I do all the time. But if you don't know how to get people to begin, because someone who's operating like Fee, to get someone else to do that, there's a lifestyle that she's developed, her relationship with God, which is hers. You see, I'm not trying to get people to copy my relationship. I'm trying to get people to use the principles to develop their own.
Yeah.
So it's their pathway. Because that's what it is. They have to tread. If you tread a path over and over again every day, you know where to go.
That's right.
Because
Also, it makes follow. New pathways in your mind as well.
That's exactly what it's doing. It's creating neural pathways, connections to the experiences, which open up the experience. They're anchored, rather than forgotten, where there's no pathway. So if you tread the same pathway over and over, it forms a permanent connection. And that's why we've got negative permanent connections, which are connections to strongholds that you have to break so that then new pathways can form. And these form pathways, but they're your own. So I don't know what God is going to be like to you, but he will be like it is to you, and that will be your pathway. And eventually, see, if you have a pathway that is trodden down all the way into heaven and through different things, you can then go there whenever you want by thought. Because you don't have to walk the whole thing. You know, I lead people through the path, and I, you know, because I enjoyed going there and experiencing the river of life and the waterfalls and things. If I want to go to the waterfall, I just close my eyes and think of the waterfall. You know, if I want to, engage it visually, I can send my spirit to that waterfall now and stand under it. You know, because my spirit is already in the realm of heaven. I don't step back out.
You know, what was that thing about Ian Clayton saying that just connecting your spirit to your soul or something?
Yeah. In a sense, I mean, in the transformation thing, I go through that whole process. There's a sense where our soul, because it's received everything from the outside, has drawn life to operate independently. And so there are soul ties connected to our spirit for the soul to operate independently of God. So you separate them. So I don't want to operate independently from God with any negative thing. But then you reintegrate it. It's not like our soul should be separated from our spirit. It should be completely one. But because it has been and has operated independently, you have to deal with the things that are operating that way. And that just frees you then to become one, and my soul and spirit flow together. So I don't think now about, well, what's operating, reverence or fear of the Lord or intuition. It just flows. Now I built up that by opening up and flowing it through and seeing it, how it worked all the time. Then it, now it works, you know, it just flows that way. So that's really why I've done it this way for people, is because everyone needs to be able to help it pass it on. And if you have an experience that you don't know how to pass it on, then someone's going to be stuck, because they haven't got the 15 years or 20 years that Sophie has had to develop that. You know, and if, and
I mean, I'm just listening to Ian Clayton, he just says get the CD,
Yeah, he does. Yeah, well, that's why I put all the CDs all there. They're all available.
And you're thinking, I want you to know that. Why don't you go into that? And
but Ian Clayton is a prophetic voice for the generation. He's not a teacher. You know, he doesn't teach systematically.
It. Yeah, he presented it, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's at Cardiff again this year, isn't
it? Yes, in August, yeah.
Are you going?
I might do. I just haven't I haven't worked out yet. You know exactly when it is. Depends. It depends if I'm doing anything else. But I would like to certainly go for a day or so just to you know, just to look up and connect and see what's going on, because you know I love the guy.
Yes, you know, go on and on.
He's great.
I could just sit here, couldn't you?
Yeah, we could just sit here just. listening and asking you lots of questions. And thank you so much. You've made me feel so much better.
You're welcome. Oh, it's your
card. Okay, thank you.
So,
So I can... So you just press the button, so